This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Commanders signed a kicker today. So thank you, Zane Gonzalez, for your work.
Appreciate the time.
Exit stage left. Matt Gay will be the kicker for the Commanders this season. Veteran, he has kicked in Tampa. I think he's most known for having two excellent seasons with the Rams. He most recently kicked the last couple of years for the Colts. But you heard Earl mention this in his update. A one-year deal worth over $4 million. This is the largest guaranteed money for a kicker in a one-year contract that's ever been signed, which is interesting. Tells you, A, how badly they felt like they needed to upgrade the position, and B, also that they still got enough money to do everything they want. Because you wouldn't spend on a kicker when you already have a veteran on your roster if you didn't have the money to do it. But you got plenty of cash, you have a need, he was available, and they got the contract done. Last year he was 31 for 37 on field goal attempts. One thing that stood out to me when I looked up his numbers, he had by far his worst year on 50-plus yard field goals. He was 3 for 9. From 50-plus last season. And maybe their thinking is, we go for so many fourth downs that when I call on him, if I'm Dan Quinn, it's not going to be from 50-plus nearly as often as another team does. Maybe that's the logic, because when you're in that range on fourth and four or less, you're going for it. And maybe they just think it was a fluke season, because he's had some good years kicking from deep.
In fact, he owns the record for most 50-plus kicks in a single game. He had four a couple years ago in one game. So I think some of that is fleeting, you know, good sample, bad sample, everything in between.
But still, last year, that was a struggle.
Last year, he was bad.
And they don't seem to care that much about it.
Yeah, last year, he was 100% bad in that regard. There's no getting around that. But, you know, again, this could be we think that was a fluke, or we're not concerned about it, or something in between. But, yeah, I mean, that's, you had a placeholder in Gonzalez, as we all kind of were hoping that it was. And this is a guy with, as you said, a pretty good track record in three different stops.
I like this signing, though. You upgraded at an important position where I didn't feel good. Last year, even though the Zane Gonzalez thing never really reared its head and became a huge problem, he missed kicks in the playoffs. People forget because they won the game, but the doink that went in against the Bucks 3 inches further toward the outside of the goalpost, that clanks, comes back toward the field, and you may lose that game before your playoff run ever started. There was just no reason not to address kicker. I was hoping they didn't do it in the draft, and after they didn't fall the way that maybe they needed to for a draft pick or that they did other things correctly, they immediately go out and sign the veteran. But I like this from a philosophical standpoint of, I think it sets the table for post-draft seeing that they still are going to go out and sign some one-year deals to fix some of their problems. Edge is next.
Still there, yeah.
You got to go get a defensive end, whether that's Matthew Judon or Preston Smith or whoever it might be on the scrap heap. You got to sign one, maybe two of those guys after you didn't draft a single edge, your biggest need in your five-player draft class.
They don't seem, or let me phrase it a different way. They're not going to panic. This front office is not going to reach. They're not going to do what they perceive as bad value just because there's a hole. I think they've proven that over a couple off seasons, right? They're not going to overcommit. Whereas in years past, think about when bad leadership was in charge. If there was a gaping maw or some sort of huge problem, it was, I know what to do. Here comes a celebrity. Here comes a big dollar signing, an overcommitment, a huge salary for a guy that either was disgruntled somewhere else or had kind of played a slightly different role. Whatever it was, you can think of the signings instantaneously. Everyone from Josh Norman to Albert Haynesworth to...
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device. Plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Everything in between to try to fix some of these problems. This is a group that says we're not going to do it just to do it. We're not going to do it to hear ourselves make a phone call. If we don't think this is a massive upgrade and a good value for us, we'll just be patient. And that can lead to frustration from those of us that are sort of living and breathing this thing every day, looking, just refreshing that our lad's depth chart going, there's nobody new. There's nobody new at that edge spot. There's nobody new. With all due respect, I'm not counting on Jacob Martin making a huge leap. Do something. They're not going to get out of their patient value approach.
Wayne Gay, your kickers now. Tressway, Matt Gay, your kicker and your punter for the Commanders, a tandem that hopefully will be a strength for them on special teams this season. Finally, we have not gotten to talk about the draft class because yesterday our show was all of about 90 minutes long. The Nats played and gave up 19 runs during this year time slot. By the way, they're in Philadelphia tonight. Ace Mackenzie Gore on the hill taking on Zach Wheeler, the top two pitchers in the National League in strikeouts. So there's going to be some swings and misses tonight.
There'll be some punches tonight.
Gore has 53. Wheeler has 50. Both have been very good for their NL East clubs. But because we didn't talk about the draft class, I thought we could do it off the top before Josh Connerly joins us coming up in just a few. Connerly was the pick at 29. We did get the opportunity for much of Friday to discuss that thinking, and while it was not one of their biggest needs or something we saw coming, makes a lot of sense that you want to grab an anchor and a bookend with Laremy Tunsil up front. You can't go wrong addressing your offensive line. You cannot throw enough assets at that position group, especially when your number one asset his young quarterback, Jaden Daniels, and his protection. So we both sign off and like that. After the first round, I made the case that they needed to do everything they could to trade back, even if it meant taking 85 cents on the dollar. They didn't get a deal that they liked, clearly, because they ended up sticking at 61, and they made a really good pick in Trey Amos, the cornerback from Mississippi, who is long and physical. He, to me, is straight out of the Dan Quinn mold. This is a 6'1", 200-pound corner who's still agile enough to flip his hips and run a little bit. But I think his length and his physicality is going to look like one of those Legion of Booms corners from Seattle over the years. This was not a guy that I thought would be there at 61.
I didn't either, no.
So to get a starter opposite Lattimore, to be able to either have, you know, Sandra still go into the nickel or maybe, you know, push Amos and play at corner and you can move them around and now have depth at a position where they were paper thin all of last year, I really, really liked what they did. My preference was to move back so that you'd just have a bigger draft class. But like with all of their picks, Danny, when they were on the board, what they did when they're on the clock actually made a lot of sense.
100%. And there's a theme, and we're going to get to that kind of throughout, I think, as we talk about them. But we now know their type, right? Last year, you saw a couple of factors, leadership roles, team captain, et cetera. And the common theme here, their Venn diagram, where it lines up, get used to hearing the RAS. That is the raw athletic score. They like guys with green ones. They like guys that are viewed in the what is known as the elite category of this stuff. When you measure somebody's size and then all their attributes, 40-yard dash, 20-yard split, 10-yard split, shuttles, three cones, vertical jump, broad jump, etc. All those things go into basically telling you what kind of natural athlete a person is. And anything above 8 is considered outstanding. Every one of their draft picks this year was well above 8. This is a theme. This is what they're looking for. They are looking for the most athletic guys possible. And if you happen to have a leadership role, that's great. If you happen to be kind of, you know, their type character guys, etc., we now kind of know the type, and every one of these guys fits that bill. The guy actually with the lowest score in this raw athletic score measurement here is actually Amos, and the production was so good that it makes sense. Similarly to last year, Mikey Sanders still was the only guy that didn't have an elite raw athletic score, and we know that guy's made of guts and stick-to-itiveness and aggression, so all works out just fine. If they're going to make an exception, it's going to be at a certain spot. But Amos certainly fits that bill. When you go down the rest of their draft, they got athletes, and I think that's what they're always looking for.